This week we have on the cast everyone's favorite rock star, the talented and indestructible Ophi. Be sure to visit his website to find all the band's shows and tour dates. You can order merch there and listen to brand new singles. That's at www.ophiband.com. Link in the description below. Speaking of tour dates, the first no-restriction show of the summer is happening June 4th at the Experience Event Center. Ophi is headlining with Shrink the Giant and Ryan's Stream. Use promo code Ophi for $3 off. VIP tickets are also available if you want to meet the band, take some photos, get great deals on merch, and score some grub. Sponsored by Super Chicks. And finally, be sure to follow him on Instagram, where he'll make all your wildest dreams come true.
Do you see this though? Are you looking at this?
Oh, there we go. Jay knows Dragon Ball Z.
That's right. I was telling her about how I freaked Liza out going, Kakarot! Like, just like that in Walmart. She was like, that was loud, and I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dude, tell me the freaking best scene out of that whole series is when freaking Gohan explodes Cell. Like, does his one arm. Dude, a single tear, man. I was like, his dad was there, you know? Dude, that scene was dope.
So no judgment, but I'm actually not the biggest Cell fan. I'm actually more of a Frieza kind of guy. I like
that.
I prefer Frieza to Cell. Oh, Cell's cool, but Frieza's my boy.
Frieza, I couldn't tell. I'm like, is it a guy? Is it a girl? Is like, is it an alien? Is it a person? Yeah. Why do they have so many different forms, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe that's why I liked him. Because when I was younger, I was kind of like that. I was like, I don't get him. And then the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, he's pretty cool. Like, he's got that crazy voice, and I don't know. There's something sinister about him that I kind of like.
Well, I mean, to each his own, you know? I mean, you're wrong. Cell's way better, but, you know.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, what kind is it?
That's the Epiphone Les Paul I have. I was telling
you about. Oh, nice. Yeah.
From what I did, that's perfect. If I ever have any crowds over 50, then you need a Gibson. But
I don't know, man. I know a couple guys that had played on, like, when I was starting out on like $200 or $300 guitars, and they made those things sing.
I hate those talented weirdos. I'll just say that.
I know.
I need
the nice guitar with a nice amp to help me. You know, there are some dudes that's like, oh, it's not the guitar, it's the guitar player. I'm like, not with me, man.
Here's a Starcaster. What's a Starcaster? Exactly. It's the $100 acoustic guitar you get at Target. You're like, yay.
Dude, I started on a Memphis. I don't even know if they make those anymore.
Dude, I had a Memphis. I love Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Memphis, and then it was on a Crate amp, a Fender Crate amp. Oh,
yeah. I had a Crate amp. Dude, I had a Crate amp, and I was like, so sweet. And they're like, they're mainly for basses. I'm like, cool. Glad I got that for a guitar.
Yeah, and my little orange distortion pedal that I had.
Oh, dude, the OS-1?
Probably.
The boss
knobs. Yeah, the boss. Yeah.
It had three knobs. Distortion. Yeah. That's it. And you're like, yay. Dude, you had it. They're $30. The only ones.
Those days, I would just say I'm super stoked, are far behind me. Because, I mean, one, it's just fun to explore how crazy technology is now with, like, pedals. I just bought, so I have the hand-wired vintage AC30. Now I can't think of it. And everybody's watching. Oh, Vox. There we go. Vox.
Okay.
Hand-wired AC30. It's like what Dave Grohl uses with Foo Fighters, which is why I was like, oh, I got to have one of those. And then I have a triple rectifier, which is like what I got to be careful. I know Nickelback uses them. And I know heavy metal bands use them. I know Nickelback just lost all my credibility when I said that. But I like Nickelback. And I'll always go on record saying I freaking love Nickelback. I think they are awesome.
Triple rectifier. New band name, I call it.
I'm pretty sure it's already been done, but you might get sued for that. But yeah, and then, I just bought this pedal that is like the most insane pedal I've ever. I mean, you get toys, right? You get guitars that sound good with this amp. You get this, it sounds good with that. And so I'm glad those Fender Crate days are gone. Because now I have like the coolest toys to play with.
Yeah, dude, I'll still keep my first bass because it has Link on it, Legend of Zelda. And I didn't even mean to buy it that way. I just got it used, and I just happened to have it on it. And I was like, that was meant to be. I haven't touched it in like 6 years, but I still have it somewhere in my basement.
People that put stickers on guitars or basses, it like kills me. It like,
oh, I'm no,
like,
it's on the head. It's on the nut. It's not a, I wouldn't leave it on the body at all.
Cause there are some people that rock it. Some people that are like, yeah, I could just put stickers all over the body. And I'm like, oh, it hurts me every time. I'm like, no, I mean, I did it to one guitar. And then I was like, I hate myself for doing this, but hey, to each his own.
I was shopping for a motorcycle. Speaking of different guitar brands, I was shopping for a motorcycle. And at the end of it, I was like, so I was at the Yamaha store and I was like, hey, do you know where I could find a guitar? He's like, you're not going to believe this.
He's like, I don't even look at the countries.
You're not going to believe what we have in store for you. It's like, do you need a piano too? Yeah. I was like, that's gotta be a typo or somebody didn't get sued for the right thing. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's funny.
I really love motorcycles, but I also want to make pianos. So make me exactly. That nothing in between.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, dude, we've got to be talking about different things. They're like, no, it's all the same company. I'm like,
it's got the same symbol.
So random, dude. That's so weird.
Yeah, we do really have a Yamaha. So we have just a cheap, like, $170 Yamaha guitar.
It's nice, though. It's flat. The flat black on it. Smooth neck. That's all you really need. Because action, smooth neck. Woo!
Yeah, Johnny can make it sing. I can do, like, three notes, and I'm like, this is pretty good, isn't it, Johnny? Johnny's like, yeah.
Keep at it, man. Never put anybody down.
Dude, okay, I just randomly reminded me. Happy birthday, dude. Like, I just realized it was your birthday, like, today or yesterday or something, yeah, right?
I didn't tell work, and they got mad. And I'm like, well, I just felt stupid going in. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's my birthday.
I'm like, after 20, it's kind of sad. You just don't announce it if I don't have to. I'm like, if you have me on social media, you know, it's not like it matters.
No, yeah. I mean, it's
weird. But I appreciate when they say it, though.
It's weird when you want to let people know because – I don't know. It's just, I think birthdays are like one of the funniest things because now on Instagram, everybody does it. It's like somebody posts a picture about you, you put it on your story, and then but you don't say like, it's my birthday. It's just like, my friend wished me happy birthday. And then,
thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to celebrate my birthday all week. So I'm on the complete opposite birthday end week. Of Johnny. Yeah. He's low key. I'm like parades in the street. My parents will take me out to dinner one night. I'll go out on the other night. Like,
I got screwed on my birthday. Mine's December 26th. So literally, like, yeah, it's all about Jesus. And then, so terrible. No, but literally, all my friends are either busy or they're, like, broke. And so I'm, like, trying to plan something where I'm like, hey, let's do something. They're like, oh, we're gone. We're, you know, traveling. We're seeing family. We're doing this. So I'm like, I tried the half birthday thing. But then you just, I don't know. It's not as fun because it's like, well, technically it's not my birthday. Am I celebrating my future birthday or the last one? You know, it's just weird. So I just kind of treat myself all year whenever I feel like it.
Right. That's what I say. I'm like, and you know, now I can buy everything I want. I have Jay to comfort me when I need it. So
what would your half birthday be on December? It would be June 26th.
Yeah. June 26th.
That'd be
perfect.
Cause it's six months apart. And, people are in town, or they can take you out of town.
Mine's May 26th, so I was trying to do math in my head. Like, do we have the same half?
I could tell that was way harder than it should have been. But it was like December, half of 12.
Aren't you a professional accountant, Jay?
No, I'm not a professional accountant.
Don't you get paid to do numbers?
I do get paid to do numbers, so that is true.
That's funny.
That's like me giving a...
Don't show them this, yeah.
It's like me giving Ophie a guitar, and I'm like, where's the E string? I don't know, man. They're all strings.
They're all strings. I mean, there's two of them, but whatever. I know.
High E or low E? I was testing you. Nice. You've passed.
I passed, yeah. Dude, what's crazy is the guys that I'm with now in the band, like there's an ongoing joke where like, so I've got Matt Wilson on drums, who's freaking beast, dude. This guy is just like insane. And I've had a lot of cool drummers. My last drummer, Talon, was super cool too. I mean, everybody's kind of busy, so you kind of like, hey, he's my main drummer, and then kind of a backup, kind of whatever, you know. But yeah, Matt is dope. And then I got Johnny on guitar, not this Johnny, obviously, but Johnny.
I'll hop on. Don't even hedge. I'll just get on stage. Yeah, I'm invited. I'll just go.
Unprepared, uninvited. he's from the Philippines and like came to America with like the dream, I'm gonna be in a famous rock band. Ooh. So already I'm like, oh, I love both these guys. And then Matt's been drumming since like he was born, you know. His dad's a freaking world class awesome dude drummer. Like, so it's just like runs in his family, right? And then we have rotating bass players until we find like our guy, right? But so far, everybody that we've jammed with, including those two guys, they all like know music and theory and like chords and all this stuff. So they'll be jamming. And even Matt on the drums will be like, oh, he's doing an F add or a C add 9 or a F sharp major, blah, 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 squared 2, hold the X, minus R, remainder 7. Like, dude, they just shoot out stuff. And I'm like, you know, these are my songs that I wrote, and I don't even know, because they're like, oh, this key is in this, and he's actually doing this. And I'm like, dude, I go here, and I slide to here. Like, I don't read music. They read music. And it is very inspiring being around these guys and how quick they can pick up songs, how quick they learn everything. It's just nuts, man. I wish I was talented enough to do that, but that's not my thing. I didn't go that route with music.
That's what's beautiful about music. What I tell people is you can read it all day, but if you don't need it, you don't need to know how to read music. I can teach someone to read guitar tabs in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But you can easily play. If you can feel it or if you want to, you can play without having to learn music. That's what I like about music.
You know, somebody once asked me, cause I was kind of getting down on myself. Like, it was actually my producer, Nate. He was like, I was like, dude, should I take the time to be a better guitarist? Because I suck. and he's like, you don't suck. Because I'm like, vocals is my thing. That's my most important part. But then you look at people like Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters, or...
He's a musician, though, man. He plays everything. It's disgusting. Dude,
that's the thing. Like, drummer, musician. Yeah. Those guys, or Brendan Urie from Panic! At the Disco. Like, these guys that could do all that. And I'm like, I'm just a voice, you know? But I'm like, and I could say I'd hold my own on guitar. Like, I'm fairly confident. But... it would just be so much cooler to do all that. And my producer was kind of saw me and in his young wisdom was like, can you make a better cheeseburger than McDonald's? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so why don't you have a fraction of their money? And I was like, okay, where are you going with this? And he's like, dude, he's like, you're doing what you're doing and you just do it well. And that's all you need to focus on. McDonald's makes good, like cheap cheeseburgers and they're bomb at it. You know, so don't worry about trying to one up this. Like, you see McDonald's being like, dang it, we should make burritos and tacos now. We should do hot dogs. You know, they stick to what they're good at. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to focus on being a mediocre guitarist and an amazing vocalist. That's my dream. That's my goal.
Be a rhythm guitarist and have a lead guitarist.
That's what I am. Oh, that's what I do. I do rhythm. Yeah, right? Johnny does lead, but still, like, Bullet for My Valentine. That's another good band. That front man freaking can jam. Same thing with Nickelback. Chad Kroeger, he can do that, dude. He can wail on guitar. Keith Urban, now it's gonna start opening the floodgates. I tell people
that, like, country guys get like, oh, they only play three chords. I'm like, listen to real, like, they're guitarists. Oh, yeah. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
But Brad Paisley, like, they're just disgusting, man.
It's Nashville dudes, man. Nashville, like, we spent some time up there and went to a jam session. I was blown away at the talent of these people. I'm just like, holy cow. So you just never know, man. You never know what you need. Like, if you're good at one thing, do that. Do it well. Be the best at it. Be different at it, and you'll be fine.
I love that. Be different. There's a million guys that can play the guitar right now. Doesn't mean they're going to do anything.
Yeah. Here, my personal philosophy now is it's better to be different than it is to be better. It's better to be different than it is to be better.
And to be trying. That's what I love about talking to you. Because every time I talk to you, like, oh, I'm going to play this show. I'm going to play that show. You're not like, oh, can't do anything. Everything's done. I'm going to be in my room. Because it's easy to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I felt that. I'm not going to lie. Like, there was many times that I was like, what's the point? You know, even before COVID. But then you think about it, and I'm like, all right, if I let COVID stop me, that means there's something that could stop me. Whether it's COVID, whether it's money, whether it's dating life, whether, like, I went through a divorce and, like, that could stop me. Like, if you allow one thing, that means that there is, like, a maybe, like, this section in your armor that could get you. But I'm like, nah, man, it's not going to be COVID. COVID's not going to dictate if I make it or not. Like, I'm going to dictate if I make it or not, you know? Will Smith is my favorite quote I ever heard him say, and I actually think he was quoting somebody else, but he said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And I was like, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And I think about that with music or you know, making it and being a celebrity or famous or whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, it's way hard. This industry, you know, it's really tough. But if you love what you're doing, you gotta, you know, and I think everybody's die for it is different. You know, I gave up a finance company. I gave up comfort in Huntington Beach and a nice little beach place out there. And kind of to me, what was like a different path to chase music, you know, to come here and come to Utah of all places and do music. So,
so on that same note, what got you into music to begin with? Where did it start?
So when I was a kid, my dad bought a karaoke machine, and I grew up in the '90s, like early '90s. Karaoke was the jam, you know, like you got a nice karaoke system, put it on the big screen, thick TV, you know, the TV was thick, you know, thick. We didn't have these
double C, paper. Double C.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were thick, you know, thick. And he would just sing at the top of his lungs all the time. And then my mom also was like a tenor and she'd sing, but she wasn't very loud. My dad was like loud, booming voice, but my mom had like a really good, soft, beautiful voice. So I kind of just grew up with them singing. And then my older brother started a band. I've got three older brothers, an older sister and a younger sister, but two out of the three older brothers decided, let's start this band. So they started a band and they're like, it looks so cool. They made it look awesome. Everybody wanted to be with them. All the girls liked them. All the dudes wanted to be them. And they had an opening one day for a bass player. So I auditioned. It didn't go well. They said no.
Yeah. Auditioned in your brother's band. I love it.
Yeah, they said no. And, you know, I ended up like crying and they were just like, nah, man, you're not going to make it. And so I was like, yeah, I think I was like 13 or 14 at the time. And so I just went to my room huffing and puffing, like, I'm going to show you, I'll be something. So I started my own band and ended up from there just like loving it. And fast forward a couple years later, I ended up getting them into my band. And we were all heavy metal. You know, if you can believe that, we did a heavy metal band, way different than what I play now. And then, you know, when the time was right, we went our separate ways. And then Ophi was born. So.
What was, if I may ask, what was your brother band name? Was it Clever? Was it? Your metal band name.
So the funny thing was we came to Utah to work with a producer who is my current producer now. And when we came out, this is not the name we ended up going with, but at the time we were called Full Stitch, like Full and then Stitch. Uh-huh. I have no idea why. It was from high school. And so when I met the producer, he was like, I really like your voice. I think there's something unique about your voice. The rest of the band's trash. He's like, we got to do something. Like, and he didn't mean it as in you had no talent. It's just like, he was like, there's no energy in your songs. There's no like, there's no need, there's no necessity, there's no hunger, so let's change that. And so we started doing these songs together, and he loved everybody individually, like everybody was talented, but mm-hmm. he was looking at like, how do I make you a commercial success instead of how do you just become a hobby, you know, because he's like, I don't want to work with a hobbyist, I want to work with somebody that is going to make it. So my fourth brother, we sent him a list of names, and he hated all of them, because I'm like, hey, your three younger brothers are starting a band. And he said, what about Four-Headed Monsters? And that was the band, was Four-Headed Monsters. And so I was like, that's it. Because now all four brothers are connected and we did it.
It's so metal.
We were that for, I think, a year or two. And then, we all just went our separate ways. And I ended up sticking with the producer because I believed in him. He believed in me. And then we started Barricades. I don't know if you've heard my song Barricades, but listen to my song Barricades. Mm-hmm. That's the first song post heavy metal, so you could definitely hear some, like, I still wasn't convinced to go rock pop. I was still like very much holding on to like, oh, I gotta be true to myself. So you can hear a lot of elements of like Linkin Park, even some guitar riffs in there of, you know, maybe Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace, until I've committed to more what we are now, which is, look, if you want to make it, you look at artists like Billie Eilish, Imagine Dragons, 21 Pilots, I think did it really, really well, but they've got the biggest pieces of the pie, meaning they appeal to so many people. Yeah. When Imagine Dragons came out with Radioactive, mm-hmm. first off, that's one of those songs that I was like, why didn't I write that? Like, it hurt. It was so beautiful because it was so different. But it's like heavy metal people, some people could be like, okay, I see elements about this that I like. Rock people, of course, loved it. Pop, of course, loved it. Hip hop, even some. some country, I dare to say, you know, but they got so much of the pie that it's like, oh, you can't argue this is cool, you know. And I think that's what my producer was trying to get me to see with heavy metal. And this is my personal opinion, of course, any heavy metalists out there, like, more power to you. But for me and my mindset and where I'm at, I can't appeal to that many people with heavy metal, because it's not really me. You know, we'd write these heavy metal songs together as bands, and then I'd go off on my own and I'd write all these sappy, like, love pop songs. And they'd be like, these are lame, you know, like, we can't play these. But I'm like, dang, that's what at heart, like, a little bit dangerous, that song that we have, or Gasoline, or 20 Seconds. You know, these are all songs to me that I'm like, that's who I am. That's me. So it's easier to write that way. It's easier to sing. It translates better than having to write all these heavy metal songs about anger and hate and abuse and all this stuff. It's like, just wasn't fun. You know, I'd rather spend my time helping other people get better energy.
I love it. Yeah. Heavy metal works well in Europe. It's a much bigger scene out here in the States. You're right. I've been praising Still. It's been like 2-3 years now. Kacey Musgraves did a Golden Hour album, and she's pure country if you hear other stuff, but this one was just so her Kacey. Golden Hour. Yeah, she won like 9 Grammys on it. She killed.
Is she the one that sings? Oh shoot! I swear I've heard of her. Is she the one that does the something about raining or umbrella or?
Yeah, it's the rainbow. It's like a super rainbow. Soft. Yeah,
Umbrella's okay, Rihanna. I'm just messing. I know that one. I knew that reference.
I know that one. If that's the song, she's bomb.
And girl, she did really going. Smart to do what you said. You know, she did not just country. She did music that was, I put it as like coffee shop indie. Like, it was so different. Like, no one does. If you do something different that everyone can be like, I like this style. And it killed it. And then you see other people that just do, I'm just going to do pop. Cool. But, you know, there's 80% out there that don't care about pop. Something like that.
Well, and here's the other thing is, like, if you're true to yourself, and that's what I try to do, because writing a song and putting it out there is terrifying. Because you're always, 20 seconds.
Vulnerable, man. You're vulnerable.
Yeah. 20 seconds are this last single that we just put out. And we have the newly remastered full version, studio version coming out again. But this one was like a tester. It was the most polarizing song that we've had. I had fans, some of them loved it. It's their favorite song that we have. Other ones were like, dude, what is this? You know, like, this is not rock. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not rock at all. But that's the thing is, it's like, it was cool to me because I'm like, okay, mostly famous people get this, not me at my level, you know. Most like big, like Post Malone or Imagine Dragons puts out a song and it's like people hate it, people love it. So that was kind of exciting to even have a little bit of that with what little following I have. That was cool to have people be like, hey, I don't know, but guess what, they were still there, they still come to the shows. Because it's like, dude, it's one song, you know. Imagine having to pick out 5 minutes of a movie that you didn't like and then getting like sore over it,
which
like,
we do.
Dude, it was fun. Yeah, right? But still, it's like, it's still a great movie. You know, it's like, I was literally just talking about The Boys. And I'm like, if there was even one episode that I'm like, I'd still be a huge fan. Yeah. So I'm like, Linkin Park is one of the only bands that I'd say pretty much every single album, every single song to me was amazing.
Dude, Hybrid Theory still is a jam, man. Whew.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the highest like selling albums, I think, of the world. I think they sold 20 or 30 million copies. But yeah, Hunting Party was my only album that I was like, all right, you know, they were trying something, they were doing whatever. But it's rare, you know what I'm saying? Like Foo Fighters, I love their albums, but not every song speaks to me. So for me, I don't get like, you know, all messed up when somebody's like, hey, I didn't like your last single. Cool, did you like the first one? Yeah, awesome, thank you for your support. You know, you flip it into something good.
I'm dominating here, sorry, Jay, but this one, I love asking artists this. I'm assuming you have gotten to a point where you're like, I love this song, everyone's gonna love it, and then they love the song that you didn't even think anyone's gonna listen to. Because we have like for us, we have a podcast meeting, we're like, that was the best one we've ever done, and people don't care. And then like one that we did a throwaway and they're like, dude, that was so good, you guys were on it.
Yeah,
have you had that yet?
Yeah, it's one that we actually haven't recorded, but we're going to. It's a song called Crown. And if any of my fans are watching this right now, they just went nuts because Crown. When you guys see us play this song live, it just translates so well. Like my buddy Jesse and I, him and I write together a lot. I usually write with Nate or I write with Jesse or both of them. Right, those are my only pretty much two writers because you know, some guys can just, like Ed Sheeran, can just go into a studio, boom, write stuff. I like having somebody else there because I guess I'm insecure with my writings, or I'm like, hey, am I going the right way? Or my big problem is, how do I make this not sound like a song that was written in the 90s? You know, like, how do I make this song current? So I like working with producers, and both Jesse and Nate are great producers. So anyway, we wrote this song Crown, and that was not the song that I thought was going to be a big hit. But the first time we ever played it, like, I felt it. I felt like I literally had gone Super Saiyan. Okay. I was trying so hard to work that in. No, like the first time we played Crown, you know, it just starts off with this, like, something's happening type of vibe, you know, and then music cuts out and you just hear me sing, I got a crown, but it's not big enough. Hey, boom. Ooh. And it just blows up. That was the main lyric. Like, I had this lyric stuck in my head. I've got a crown, but it's not big enough. And for me, it was like that hunger of like, hey, I'm doing okay, but I need to be doing way better, you know, for me. And so that's what I kind of thought about. I was like, all of us have a crown, but it's like, don't be happy with where it is. Like, get a bigger kingdom, get a bigger whatever. And, you know, I'm not talking about just money and riches and fame. I'm talking about your personality, your life, your energy, your happiness. Like, I don't like settling. I think the scariest part of settling is waking up every day and having to convince yourself that you didn't settle. That seems, even thinking about that, like every day waking up being like, no, this is good. This is good. I meant this. I'm happy. I didn't settle. That's terrifying. So anyway, Crown, that song, it just is a big hit. And I'm kind of scared to record it because I'm like, how do we capture the magic that I have just live?
Record it live?
Exactly. Just live. Well, I've thought about doing that, but dude, being in the studio is so fun. Like, it's so much fun. So we'll see. We'll see.
So I just want to touch quickly on Linkin Park. I had a friend growing up who always had foreign exchange students over at his house. Always from like Japan, from China, from Thailand, a ton from Thailand. And it always, as a kid, it'd be like, oh, what are you into? What are you into? We'd kind of ask, and we'd never have like a common interest really. And then I'd be like, what about Linkin Park? And they, without fail, every single time, they would be like, love Linkin Park. Like, we would go off on Linkin Park. So it was kind of funny that was always like I would ask them about movies. I would ask them about shows. They had no idea. They wanted to tell me about their movies and shows, nothing. And then we would always meet at Linkin Park. That was always my like fallback on with people.
That is like the most beautiful thing. I almost got teary-eyed just now. Like, just think about how, like, legit. Rest in peace, Chester Bennington. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the first concert I've ever seen in my life, was Linkin Park. It was, I think, 2006. Yeah, 2004, Hybrid Theory 2004?
So would Meteora like have been out yet? I'm trying to think on my timeline.
Hybrid Theory was like 03, because I was still in high school. So it was probably 06.
No, I don't know, man. Actually, yes.
We have our producer. Our producer will look it up.
Yeah, I think it was 2002. Now I'm trying to, because it was just Hybrid Theory that had come out. It hadn't dropped Meteora yet. And it was them, POD, Hoobastank, and Story of the Year.
Dude, get out. And that's a lineup. Dude,
it was, that's what shows used to be, man. Dude, and so my brothers, I was in eighth grade, so my brothers took me out. And dude, like the first band that goes on Story of the Year, I'd never heard of them. No one had. No one had ever heard of them.
Until the day I die. Oh, that still brings me to tears. That's like the hardest song I remember. Sorry, I get really nostalgic on Feel by Ramen Band.
Feel by Ramen. Them live, dude. They were doing backflips off their cabs, and like they were just so energetic. And I never forgot that. So all of our shows are like that. It's just like, it's on. Because, a little side note, and I'll get back to the Linkin Park thing.
No, keep it on. Like,
when people come to my shows, I two things. We do our little huddles, you know, our with all of our group. We've got our merch people. We've got the film crew. We've got the photography, our photographers. We've got our manager. We've got roadies. We've got stagehands. All of us, you know, so there's like a group of, you know, 10 to 20 of us, and we huddle. And then I kind of like become the Tom Brady and give like a little speech, right? Like our victory, we're about to go out to war. And I always ask them, are we thieves? They're like, no. I'm like, all right, so we're not going to rob these people of this money that they paid to come see us. They're expecting a show. We're going to give them a show. And we go out there. And then the other thing I think about is bring the energy. We got to give these people a reason to not just stay home and stream our music. Like, why should we pay money to come see you when I could just sit at home in my underwear and eat Cheetos and listen to your music, right? Because I'm going to say, no, you can't. That's a whole different beast of our music is the streaming side of it. You got to see the live side. That will change you. That will do so much to you. So with Linkin Park, Story of the Year, they're one of the first shows because it's one of the first professional bands I ever saw live. And the energy that they had was just like, still, I'm stoked on it. And then Hoobastank was incredible. They were so good. I know everybody hates on Hoobastank too. No, I'm like, they were good. They Spinning Out of Control had just dropped.
Yeah, dude, that was like, hey.
So that was good. And then POD, no disrespect on them, because I'm pretty sure this was the end of the tour. He had lost his voice, I think, by then. And when I was younger, I used to be like, I paid money for it, you know? But I'm like, dude, you're doing, what, 30 shows in 2 months or however many shows you're doing? Like, you did freaking good for that. You know, and I could tell, like, on Alive, you know, it's like, I feel so alive. You know, he would toss the microphone out to the crowd because he's like, I ain't singing these notes. Yeah, I ain't singing those notes. And then Linkin Park came out. And, dude, like, I got translated to a different, like, dimension. It was just the most amazing, beautiful thing, seeing their music sound so good live. And so with you, think about, like, what you just said. It's like, you guys had no common whatever, like movies, food, actors, famous people. It's like Linkin Park, yes. And I'm like, dude, the power that music has to connect so many different people, and they have nothing else to connect. It's like, you like Linkin Park? Yeah. And how crazy would it be someday for somebody to be like Ophi? They're like, I love Ophi. I'm from the Philippines. I'm from Germany. You know, like, I love Ophi. How cool would that be able to do that? You know, to be able to connect people that way. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that, Jay. Like, that's freaking beautiful.
Yeah, I don't contribute as much as I should on some of this music stuff. I'm not great with music. I'm okay. But Johnny's like a huge, like, he's really into music. He's really good with it. Obviously, you're like, I love hearing to it. Like, fills me with passion for, like, some of this music. But I'm more of a writer and an audiobook kind of guy. Like, if I have free time, I don't really spend it doing music. I spend it doing like books and stuff. So,
but I will vouch for Jay because I've been to a concert with him. Jay goes ham at a show, and that's what I love. When you go with someone to a concert, you don't understand they're putting his head. Jay's like, oh, I don't know the band. I'll just get into it when I'm there, which I can't do. I need a pregame. I need to know the set list.
Same.
But Jay's like, I'll just go dry. And we went to Neck Deep right in Vegas a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
And we were Jay was moshing. He was crowd surfing. His wife got posted because Liza went out. Like, it was just crazy fun. And I'm like, that's what you want. You want to have fun for those 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think, you know, a lot of our every concert that we have is we bring it. That's our thing, is because we want people that have never seen us before. But I mean, we want them to be like, this was like an Imagine Dragons times Linkin Park times Freddie Mercury performance. And that's what we aim to do. Like, our standard is high. Is it's like, and I think it comes across very authentic because it is. And we're genuinely the four guys having the most amount of fun in the room is us. And it's contagious, just kind of like what you were saying, Jay. It's like when you see somebody on stage that just freaking loves it, you're like, you know, like, I love that. Like, I mean, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this right now, but Tom Brady, I love watching him play the game.
I have a poster of him in my room.
I'm like, I do. Do you nerds even follow sports?
Me and Jay played football and basketball. We played sports growing up.
Yeah, we can talk about any of it. We can do it all.
Yeah, we do it all. We don't just nerd. We actually like pick up basketball. But back to rock and roll, because I don't get to rock out too much. On my very first concert, do you remember the Academy is?
The Academy?
The Academy is. They were this band from Chicago.
Are you saying, do you know who the Academy is? Or are you saying, do you know of the Academy is?
The band, the Academy is.
Oh, okay.
Academy is.
Okay. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. Listen, they just came out right after Fall Out Boy. They were from the same area, but they, but anyway, so their first, that was my first concert going to, and you're like, not in your parents' concert. And then all of a sudden, like, the song came on, I don't even remember. I'll get it. Anyways, my hands just went up in the air and I started jumping without even meaning to. Your body was just so into it. And that's what I want out of an Ophi concert. Out of nowhere, my fingers go up in the air in a rock stance and I start jumping for 3 hours.
So here's the thing, is like, you'll most likely laugh and you'll most likely cry. You'll most likely dance and you'll yell. I wish it rhymed, but it didn't rhyme. I was trying to find
And you'll most likely die. We're not going to end with that. Know,
but you will not die. As much as I love the jumping and screaming and all that stuff, because you need that at a show, we take you guys on a journey. I mean, we don't just blast you with rock. It's a curated show and playlist and a journey. And when we let you guys down into the intimate spot, that is my favorite thing, is looking out and connecting with people and they're crying. You know, I had this guy come up to me at one of our last shows up in Salt Lake City. And he said, bro, I didn't know I had things to unpack. And he's like, I bawled throughout like 4 minutes of that song. I just started crying. He was a grown dude, you know. I gave him a big hug. And those type of messages are some of my favorite, is when you connect with them, because they're not just hearing the music, they're feeling it, you know. And I'm like, okay, we reached somebody with this message.
I was going to say too, even you mentioned like Freddie Mercury and I don't remember who else, but I was thinking of the movie, you know, he's got that huge crowd, but I think a lot of times you can have just as good of an energy as that in a smaller group. Don Broco wasn't very big at the time, but I went and saw Don Broco live, and their energy was just like, I was up and down just like losing it with them, and then they had some slower songs too, but you know, it was a small crowd. It was at the Complex in Salt Lake, but it was only like half full. Yeah. It wasn't very many people at the Complex. It was maybe even a third, like, because they were the opener, and not a lot of people had showed up yet, but that was like, for me, that was probably the coolest concert experience, because it was like, I really felt moved by the concert. And then afterwards he came into the crowd and I got to meet him and stuff. And I was like, dude, like that was unreal. So just to that point, it's cool if you could, you know, perform in front of the AIDS, I think it was called the AIDS concert with Freddie Mercury, you know, the AO, the famous one.
Live Aid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was not called the AIDS concert. Sorry. Thank you for the correction.
Live Aid. It was Live Aid.
Yeah. Am I on air right now? no, but I was just going to say, I don't think size necessarily affects energy. It can. But I think oftentimes, you know, if something's kind of that, there's kind of a sweet spot sometimes where my favorite concerts are when I'm not, you know, they're not 500 feet from me, but 50 feet from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, there's this kind of rule of thumb that we always have, is whether we're playing to 5 or 5,000, energy is the same. You know, I mean, naturally, when you've got 5,000 people, I've played a show because of COVID this last year. We did a live show in front of an audience of just the staff, and dude, it was so weird. It was so weird. Because you're playing to an empty, like a huge venue, no one's there. You got the camera people. So you're like, when you try to talk to the crowd, like, yeah, how's everybody doing? They're like, we're okay. You know, it's so weird. And so for us, like you ask my guys anytime, say, does OP play different in rehearsal than on stage? They'll say, absolutely not. Yeah, I am the exact same, because I'm a very big believer of, if you rehearse this way, like when I practice, I'm at home, I'm chilling in my pajamas, my underwear, whatever, playing guitar, I'm in my bed, I'm watching Netflix. But when I'm rehearsing, I'm like full clothes as a show would be. And I'm like singing, I'm dancing, I'm doing those same moves, so that when it's in front of those people, I'm already ready to go. It's natural. I'm like, oh, I always play like this. It's not something I have to turn on. But I think for younger artists, that's kind of hard for them to do, is because, you know, I've been to some friends rehearsals or friends practices where they're sitting down when they play, you know, consistently they're sitting down or they're just jamming, and that's fine, but that's going to translate to on stage. And then when you try to like, okay, let's try to move up there, it's just awkward for them because they haven't done it. You know, it's like, it's just so weird for them. Whereas us, every single rehearsals, the energy is there. Main reason behind it is like, dude, I could die on my way home from rehearsals. I want to go out knowing I gave it my all in anything that I did.
How do you make sure you don't lose that fire? You know, once you've got 5 million followers, you know, and you're constantly playing, and you know, it's been 5 years and you've made it for 5 years. How do you keep that fire? Just out of curiosity.
So here's what I'd say is two things. When I was a kid, what did I want to be? I wanted to be a famous musician. I really didn't understand that that's what it was that I wanted to be, but I knew I wanted something. Because I felt like fame with fame, there's a huge microphone and a huge audience. And so I'm like, well, I've got good things to say and I want to help people genuinely. That's my thing. I love helping people. I love connecting with people. You know, not so much a savior complex now that I've been through a couple of years of counseling, you know, but I definitely had that before. But like, it's something that has just always been my safe haven. It's always something that I've wanted to do, you know. And what I would say as an answer to that is, look at your marriage, look at, you know, being best friends with somebody. Like, how do you keep the marriage fun and exciting and still there? You know, how do you, when you guys have been married 25 years and you have 5 kids or whatever, how do you not get bored of marriage? I think of it very, very much the same way. Like, this is what makes me happy. It's what ignites my soul on fire. It's not hard for me to do it. And so let me qualify that statement with a little bit of dating advice, because, you know, why not? Why don't we talk about that? But sometimes I'll talk to people about dating and, you know, my mistakes that I feel like I went through when I was a lot younger was that, you know, I think about my best friend. And so it's like, okay, think of your best friend in the world. Who's your best friend, right? You have that person. Is it hard to be their best friend? No, because if it was hard, they wouldn't be your best friend, right? It's like, dude, why is he my best friend? I don't know. We just like get along. We're like, he's my homie. There's never a fight. We understand each other. Now, does it take work? No, work is something you do that you have to do to make money. Because I've struggled with the phrase hard work. Like, you know, marriage is hard work. Being a famous musician is hard work. And then people say, well, if you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life. I'm like, I think we're all trying to say the same thing. I think effort is the word. You know, it's like, it's not hard work to be best friends with my best friend. It takes effort. Got to remember his birthday. You know, I be there for him, spend the time to wish him and his wife and the family happy birthday and all that stuff. So for me with music, it's that same thing. It's like, it's not hard to go to rehearsals and give it my all or fall in love with my songs. Like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't use drugs, so nothing alters it up here. And music is such a sacred thing to me that's like, how could I ever get tired of it? You know, how could I ever? It's just been so good to me, and I respect it. You know, I don't. You know, that's my main reason for not doing drugs and drinking and all that stuff is because I'm like, dude, I care way too much about what music does for me and what it does for other people. You know, I can literally say music has saved my life. I can say that. I can say that songs have saved. I know other people that their songs have saved their life. So for me, it's not hard work. It's just effort. You know, the harder thing is when you're sick or when you're tired. You know, and you got a show. You know, you've only got 4 hours of sleep, and you've got to be at sound check at 12 o'clock, and you're playing 2 shows, one at 6:30, one at 9. It's like, dude, that's exhausting. You know, that's hard to do. But again, it's effort. That's all I'd say.
That's pretty cool.
I want to tone it down to embarrass you, because I've had this happen in my few onstage performances. But you're so positive. I hope you answer this. Have you had any fun mistakes yet? Have you had times where you hit the wrong pedal and you got to keep going? Everyone makes mistakes. Do you have any funny stories of live shows? Two for you. Yes, that's what
two
I love.
Two for you. Okay. One was my first time ever before I had a band. It was my first time ever playing solo acoustic. That's it. And
just dry, unplugged?
Yeah, unplugged. Oh. Sorry. It was unplugged, but there was a monitor,
more intimate, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Intimate, right? And it was for like this young college thing. And so this is like I'm glad we're talking about this, because there's
no I love this is my favorite part. I love this part. Because it humanizes people. Yes.
Well, so the director of this thing had heard about me because I had put out a couple demos with another band that I'd had before, and he liked those demos, but it was my heavy metal stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like a big rock and roll fan. He said, oh yeah, would you want to do an acoustic? And I said, yeah, you know, I've never done it before, but let's do it. So he's like, all right, let's do some acoustic stuff. So I get there and I'm like the headliner of the night, you know. And it was basically a glorified talent show, really. It's all it was. Like, I didn't get paid for this. It wasn't like you know, on the radio or anything. It was just like this young college thing out in Huntington Beach. And I show up, and my crush at the time was getting ready to leave with her friend. And I said, oh, are you guys leaving? And she's like, yeah, we've been here for a while. And I was like, oh, I'm about to go up. Like, I'm closing out the night, or second to last closing out, something like that. And I said, do you guys want to stay for my performance? Dude, I'm getting a stomach ache thinking about this story. So I'm like, just stay. Just stay, all right? And she's like, okay. And so they come. They get like front row, dude. And there's probably 100 people, probably 100 people there. They get closer to the front. And I remember they were like, you know, now introducing so-and-so. They called me by my first name at that time. And so I like get up on stage and it just dawns on me. I've never played acoustic to a monitor. Like I've never done this before. And so like I start playing the song and I'm like, I start like kind of trying to do sound check. And I'm like, I don't remember the note. Like I don't remember the key. And so I start singing and you know, when you don't commit to a key, when you don't commit to a note, it's just like the guitar's right here and you just do this, you know, with your voice. And so I'm playing and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, sorry guys, I need to tune. And I start tuning and I didn't know what to do. And so I start playing again. And after about maybe 4 minutes of the first 30 seconds of the song, it's how long it's taken us, her and her friend get up and walk out. They walk out. I'm in the middle of me playing this song and I was like, oh my gosh. And so then I say, I'm going to skip this song. It's not really working. Let's try something else. And so I go to like my backup song and it was okay. Like I still got a good applause for the night, but oh, I think about that moment every time I hit the stage, Cause I think, no, that guy, you learned not to be that guy. That never happens now. Now you get up there and if the guitar doesn't work, you go a cappella and you just sing it, you know? The other bad, embarrassing time was it was our first big show as a heavy metal band playing for, I believe it was X1039, the radio station. And we come out and it's a big Battle of the Bands, it's like the biggest one that we could do. This is back when I really cared about Battle of the Bands because I didn't understand the science behind them. They're fun, but it's like they're, unless it's like a huge national thing and like everybody's going to be in front of millions of people, it's not really worth it. So I'm on stage and, you know, I'm like, I come out and we just come out swinging with my heavy metal stuff. And as I'm playing, as I'm playing, my guitar strap completely just breaks from the metal thing that's from the back and it drops as I'm playing. And so like, I'm like, oh, I grab it and I put the thing back on. And as I put it on, I step on my instrument cable and yank it out of the guitar. I'm not even joking.
Did the feedback just explode?
Dude, yes. So I'm like playing and I'm like, what's going on? And my brother looks at me and he's on guitar. He's like, get it together. My drummer's like, come on, man. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And I look down and I plug my guitar back in and I'm like, ah. And I just like sing. So those are the two. And I will just be happy to say they haven't happened in years. I mean, that was probably 2015, way back in the day. So has not happened in a very, very long time. Praise the Lord. and now when things go wrong, like we're at a professional enough level where when things do go wrong, you have stuff prepared. You know, one of my last shows, our acoustic guitar just was not working. So I just changed it and went to my electric and played it, you know, kind of glycerin style from Bush, you know. Or, you know, we held a microphone up to an acoustic guitar one time when the input wasn't working. So you just adapt. And if it's not a big deal to you, it's not a big deal to your audience. You know, they're really forgiving. And I think it makes them love us more. You know, I always make fun of my guitarist, Johnny. He did a solo one time and at the very tail end slaughtered it. and I looked at him, he looked at me, and he just gave out the biggest laugh in the world. And it was such a tender moment. Because the audience got to see like him that way and they fell in love with him. And so I'd always remind him of that. Like, dude, sometimes it's not always about nailing the performance. It's about giving the performance.
That's great. I love it. Cause I don't care who you are. Everyone's messed up. So it's just, they learn from it. As long as you learn from it. Right. Me and Jay mess up all the time, but we have something called Not Live so we can edit it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We had a bunch of Q&A. Johnny, are you cool if we move into Q&A?
Yeah, let's, because so, what we like to do with our OFI, so we're Dead Light Nerds, right? Cool. And then, so what we like to call our fans of the show, Knights. So we asked our Knights to ask questions, and we even have a special segment that we do a Knight of the Week. And if I didn't knight this person, she would kill me, and then you, Megan Wayman. Who is the reason why we're the original glue. She actually listens to our stuff. Megan, I work with her. She's amazing. One of my favorite humans.
Megan.
Yeah. Ophi loves it too. And Megan will be, she'll listen to our stuff and be like, I didn't care for it, but I'll support you. And I'm like, that's all I care about. So,
brutal. Jeez.
I know. She'll tell me in my face. That's what I love about her. So we asked our knights to ask you questions. So if they're repetitive, cool. Oh well. We're gonna go for it. See what's up.
Let's start. All
right, Jay, you got the first one?
Yeah, let's start this off with an easy one. Amber Evans Sr. says, hello.
Nice, hello.
We used to get a bunch of weird questions or a bunch of weird responses. Like it would always be like, purr, kitty says hi. Like they've toned it down lately, but hello is what we'll start with.
Yeah, that's my favorite one so far, you know. Yeah. So
I'll ask because me and Ophi became homies in the gym, and then we became BFF because of music. But I asked a lot of gym people to ask you questions, and Josh, he's really cool. He's been following us for a minute. He asked, how many pull-ups can you do without stopping?
Oh, gym question. I think right now, my most I've ever done, I think is 12 or 13.
Ooh, double digits. Nice.
Yeah. But I was, and they were like full on, not the chin-ups, right? We're talking
full up, like knuckles full out. Up,
yeah. Yeah. I think my goal is 15 because I'm not a pull-up guy. But I remember my first time was actually at Vasa, I think last year, hitting a pull-up, and I was like, this is so much fun. So yeah, I think, sorry, Josh. I mean, 13 is about as much as I can do.
It's 13 more than me and Jay combined. So we'll take it.
That's hilarious.
This is an easy one. So you've talked on this a little bit, but Tom Oviatt asks, what are your influences? So what would you say your main influences are right now?
Oh, right now? Okay. So main influences right now in my music or main influences that created me?
Maybe give us a couple of both.
Yeah. It's,
okay. I'll start with the origin. So like when I first, Linkin Park was the first album. If you haven't guessed, Linkin Park is my all time favorite band in the world. Like when Chester Bennington left us, I cried probably for about a week straight. Like, and even sometimes I'll just put on Linkin Park and just get super teary eyed. Cause I'm like, dang, this is my idol. And I'm in a profession that it's not impossible that I could have met him and jammed with him. And that's what hurts the most is like, dude, I could have, you know? Anyway, so Linkin Park, I listened to Hybrid Theory and I was like, okay, I got to find my voice, but I don't want to copy anybody. So I actually, hopefully you can hear these influences in my music. It was Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. It was Sully Erna from Godsmack. Adam Gontier from 3D's Grace. Sean Morgan was a huge one from Seether. Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters. And Corey Taylor from Stone Sour and Slipknot. Those guys, like, they're my idols, they're my heroes, and that too I kind of built my voice off of. Now, a lot of people probably don't know, but like biggest influences now, I definitely would say still those guys, obviously Foo Fighters. I really love Bastille. I think Dan from Bastille, I love that dude's voice and what he can do. I definitely love, sorry. Dogs out here going crazy. I definitely love Adele. Adele is probably one of like my main influences as far as emotion. She's so good at telling a story and emotion. And then believe it or not, Eminem. I'm not even joking. Eminem.
Love it.
I just love how he can tell a story, how he can, he's just so unique and original. I love that. Of course, Metallica. Metallica's not really too much of an influence on my music side, but live, definitely. Like James Hetfield, what he does as far as, you know, what he's doing. And then I would just add in probably Papa Roach. Love Papa Roach. That's pretty much it right now.
Not bad. I'll ask our friend Melissa, Stride and Strength, and she's a bassist, so this makes more sense. Who has the best guitar solo stank face? Could be in your group, you know, could be overall.
No, I would probably say John Mayer. John Mayer, like, I'm not joking, dude. He owns it. Like, when I watch him play, I get a stink face. That's how I know, like, that's a good stink face, is when somebody's just like, you know, and they're like, back at you. Yeah. Johnny, my guitarist, has a really good stink face, too. Stank face. But, yeah, dang. I'd say John Mayer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ridgeland Modeling asks, when are you going to put all your songs on music apps? Summer gets stuck in my head.
Say that last part again. Some are what?
Oh, she just made a comment that they're stuck in her head and she wants to listen to
all of them. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you for even listening to our music. That's think about this. I believe the statistic is 40,000 songs are uploaded to Spotify a day. 40,000 a day. So, and again, you'll have producers look that up and make sure that's, you know, probably put a little thing here of like true or false. Anyway, that's what I was told. And I do believe that's right. Even if it was half that, 20,000, the fact that somebody is taking 4 minutes out of their life to listening or their day to listen to me is like incredible to me. So thank you. We're actually, it's so weird. We had some advice from a record label to actually not put all the music up at once. Because I've got probably 28 songs ready to go that have been recorded, at least conceptual demos for the studio that I've heard. And I get to listen to these songs all the time, some as far back as 2 years ago. But under the advisement of this guy that we trust, he was like, look, everybody puts out a whole album and it's exhausting and fatiguing to people to go like, here's a whole album. Here's a whole, you know, there's already so many of them that you're one of many. Most record labels, when you submit the albums to them, they're listening to the first song, that it doesn't grip them, that's it, you know? So it's like the money, it's expensive to go to a studio, you know? It's expensive to record all that stuff. So we're hoping to get traction with two singles, the 20 seconds and then a new one that we're gonna be releasing, hopefully in the next 30 days or a month or two. And then once those break through as singles, once we have a bigger audience and an actual platform to release it to, that's when we release the whole album. So when you come to our live shows, though, we play most of these songs. Like a lot of people know these songs from our live because we play for 2 hours. And most unheard of, not famous bands, 2 hours of great songs and materials is tough. That's a lot of songs. So come to our live shows and then record it. You can do that.
You'll see that. If you see a guy in the stand with his microphone, that'll be me.
With a Boba Fett mask on.
Yeah, I'll be totally wearing my Boba mask.
You better.
It's 60,000 tracks, by the way. I was slipped a note.
It's up to 60 now?
60,000 tracks a day, according to
iPod. Okay, I know, man.
Dude, I don't feel bad because that was pre-COVID. I think that it was 40,000. So hearing 60,000 a day, dude, that does that not terrify anybody? Oh. Like here's my thought. Okay, I'm gonna go on my Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, Dave Chappelle channel, all those podcasters. Here's my thought on this. Okay, 60,000 a day. That in 2 days you're at 120,000. 3 days, 180,000. Like, and you are trying to make it. You're trying to be one of 60,000 just that day. That's not counting all the things like from January 1st to now, right? And so this is my analogy is when people are like, oh, we're going to do this. It's like, dude, imagine if I told you right now, you have all of the world, because that's uploaded, not just US, right? It's all over the world, right? So imagine I said, okay, you have 24 hours to go anywhere in the world and find one person with red socks, the one person with red socks. Good luck. It's like, where do I go? And it's like, well, if you took too long, in 48 hours, there's 120,000 now. And so it's like, you're that one song out of that many people. And so my philosophy is what we are currently doing, I know it'll work. I know it'll work. What we're currently doing is we are putting a person in red socks in a hot air balloon. Because we're like, look, it's still going to be hard to see us, but it's going to be a lot easier instead of having to scope the whole world to be like, okay, we just need to look for a hot air balloon. Boom, there's the hot air balloon. There's the person with red socks. Weird analogy, I know, but just roll with me on it. That's how daunting that task is to be discovered on Spotify. It's like, anyway, so the one song approach is what we're doing. The one single, then next another single as a backup. And then once we get a big enough audience, big enough a demand, you know?
That's awesome. I like how that works. So odd.ray says, are all your songs inspired by events from your life?
Yes, actually. And that is really impressive that they like, I don't know if they just had a lucky guess, but that's awesome. Yeah. Every single song is a legit application. Even gasoline, I won't go into it today because I'm going to save the magic, but Gasoline is one of the biggest, that and Barricades are one of the biggest ones. There's a line in Gasoline that says like a zombie on the bathroom floor. And I watched somebody at the time very close to me almost overdose, but oh, actually they did overdose. They didn't die. And that's what that line comes from. You know, I was 17 at the time when I saw that. So yeah, a lot of, even 20 Seconds, the newest song, these are real life applications. Cool. I like that one.
I only got one more, Johnny. Did you want to take it or do you want me to?
Yeah,
I think we've got one more. We've done a lot of questions. I think we're going to end on this last one, if that's cool.
Cool.
If I take it?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, cool. Last one. Kind of say soul. Okay, I'm going to, sorry. Kinsey Soleda. I hope that's how I pronounced it. Is Bo not in the band anymore?
Ooh, okay. So that was a, you know, right for the jugular. Short answer, no. Bo and Ophi band decided to part ways a little while ago, but not friendships, if that makes sense. Like, we still love the dude. We still care about him and his family. Bo, Lexi, or Nala, if they're watching. Their little daughter is Alana, but I always call her Nala. Anyway, this is the best way to say this, is like the music scene and what it requires isn't for everybody, you know, and it's such a personal thing. And it wasn't like I don't ever want to speak for Bo, you know, we've got nothing but love for him and we loved our time with him. But you know, he felt it was best to be a good husband, be a good dad, you know? And like, how could you get mad at that? How could you not be stoked for your friend who's like, hey, I really want to do this, but I just think I need to be a dad and a husband instead, you know? What, am I going to be mad and be like, no, you're going to pick us over your family? No, it's just, and that was the thing, was just like, oh, dude, thank you, man. You know, thank you for the time that you put in so far. But yeah, no, Bo, as much as we wished he was still with us, I mean, that guy's such a funny, goofy dude. But yeah, no. So that's why we have a rotating bass player until we find the next guy to do it. Because like I said, man, the industry is tough, and being able to just, when our tours get booked this year and next year, like, it's, they call us, hey, you're going to New York, hey, you're going to this. Me, Johnny, and Matt were like, okay, ready to go. You know, we had an opportunity to go to Nashville, made the decision in probably 3 minutes. We're like, hey, we got to go. You know, we have these other shows. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for saying that, but East Coast shows, some stuff in California, Vegas. It's like when it happens, when COVID lifts up and we could do stuff over there, we go. So
perfect. I love it, because it's a dedication you need to put, so you don't, like, Imagine Dragons. I actually found them. They were just randomly, they had a keyboard. This is a cool girl in the band, and they were awesome. We're like, they're so cool, I love them. And then a year later, they blew up, and she quit, like, a few weeks after the show I went to. So, you know, she feels, she probably is mad she quit, but at the same time, it's like, you never know. Like, there's no point in holding back if you don't have to.
Yeah, and it's just, it really isn't for everybody, you know? Like, I'm not married, I don't have kids, but, I mean, that has got to be, obviously, it's been done. There are, you know, Dave Grohl tours, I think, with his family, and a lot of bands do that. But dude, that's like a tough situation to be in. And I'm glad that Bo was mature enough and wise enough to think about it now before massive record deals come, before, you know, all that stuff. Cause that would just be harder, I think, on him. Cause the band's gonna move forward, you know, no matter what. So yeah, wish him and everybody. I mean, I don't say I've lost musicians, but I've had the opportunity and the privilege to have a lot of musicians join Ophi over the last 3 years, a bunch. And for some people it's worth it and they stick around, and some it's not. So far I feel like I've got the perfect combination, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Johnny and Matt, those guys are, it's hard to find other people like you, and I think those guys are exactly like me when it comes to music.
No, you know, Matt, I've met him a few times, great personality, and that's what you need to mesh you, like, you have your energy, like, I'm like, that's what you love to see, because talent is talent, but there's energy that's different.
Yeah. And dude, it's a marriage. I mean, you guys are in business together. If you guys weren't homies, and it's not even just being friends, but knowing how to be smart together in business as friends, how to navigate what's what and the respect level, you know, like, I think what works for me, Johnny, and Matt so much is the respect that we have for each other. Like, Matt is my favorite drummer I've ever drummed with. Johnny is my favorite guitarist I've ever jammed with. You know, hopefully they're like, yeah, that's my favorite front guy, that's my favorite lead singer, you know? Because I would never want to do anything to hurt their feelings. I'd never want to do anything to tear them down. I always want to build them up. You know, I always want to hype them. Even if we make mistakes or mess up on something, it's not my place to be like, hey, man, you messed up the solo or that drum thing was off. You said, you know, this last show, my ear got blown. And because I wasn't wearing my in-ear monitors and my ear got blown and I started playing, what were we doing? Oh, Green Day, Basket Case.
Oh, nice. Dude,
I started playing and I was singing a different key than what my guitar was doing. And it was terrible. And I'm trying not to laugh while I'm playing because everybody's drunk in the audience. They think it's awesome. And I remember looking at Desmond, who was filling in on bass for us, and he's like looking at me like, bro, that ain't the note. And I was like, dude, I can't hear it. And then finally, you know, got into it during the chorus. I was like, oh, okay, there's the note. Because I was just, you know, you can't hear anything. And even then, it wasn't like, oh, man, you suck. You messed that up. They were just like, dude, it's awesome, man. Don't worry. And you need that. You need that in the band. You need the friendship. You need the support.
You need the stories. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So time to shamelessly plug, because that's why I love having you on. Because there's something called concerts. We've all forgotten about them. Everyone I talk to is like, what is that? What is that adjective?
What is that?
Or verb? What are you talking about? So you have something that I'm super stoked for. I know Jay is too, because he lives out there. You have one coming up in a few weeks, right?
I don't live in Provo, by the way. Live in Aura, it's different. No, I don't live in Provo.
Yeah, it's all Utah County.
Figure it out. Yeah, hopefully you guys make it, because this show is a big deal to us. It's June 4th. It's at the Experience Event Center. And we're all going to say is we're bringing it. Like, you guys don't even know. Like, yes, there's concerts, and then there's this thing that's going to happen. Like, I can't say enough about it. One, the venue is classy. The venue is super cool. And there are some really dope venues. Like, I will always, Soundwell always has my love. Like, mm-hmm. I love that venue. It's beautiful. So anyway, this place in Provo, it's not Orem, it's Provo. They've got massive LED screens behind us. So we're going to have, like, music videos, movies, graphics playing. They've got the lighting rigs. The set list that we're doing is dynamite. Like, I'm stoked to listen to us play it live. Like, I'm just excited. And then it's 600 people. And the cool thing is the county has done so good, as well as the venue, that because the spread of COVID is so low, almost non-existent, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it's so low, and there's so many people that are vaccinated, that there are no restrictions at this concert. And I believe that's one of the first ones, I know it's the first one we've done, zero restrictions. And it's not, the hard part about saying that is because you're always going to get blowback of, oh, what about the safety? What about all this stuff? It's like, dude, cool. If you still want to wear a mask or social distance, we're going to have that there. I'm not going to be like, take your mask off, man, and come stand right here. No, like, I personally am asking that we, for the venue, we just have spots in the back, far, far back away from people that are like, hey, I want to hang out at a distance. Cool. Everybody else that wants to be a part of it, no mask, whatever, come, you know. I think some people forget this is our livelihood, you know, to us. This is, you know, some people don't consider music as an essential worker. And I'm like, I get it. You know, I get it. But it's like, music is in absolutely every single thing you do in the entire world, always, you know. I think it's essential for my soul. So for us, it's like, we're excited because, you know, we can do 600 people in a concert, which is, it's going to be the biggest show we've ever headlined. I've played shows to a couple thousand before, but it was never as the headliner. You know, it was usually a third, you know, to the last, or it was just as an opener. So this one is very adventurous for us, mm-hmm. adventurous for us, because it's like, let's see if we can get 600 people there. And then the people that we have opening or joining the show with us, we got Ryan Stream, who I just met because of this show, and then another band called Shrink the Giant. And it's not always that you get to play a show with other musicians that you like really genuinely like and love. You know, now it's starting to happen. And it's not saying I've played shows in the past with people I didn't like. There's some cool bands that I've played with, but this one's exciting because, you know, I got to meet Ryan Stream and talk to him a little bit, and him and I are very much on the same page as far as personality. So I like what he does. I like his energy. And then Shrink the Giant is a super cool, they remind me a lot of like Avril Lavigne and no, Paramore is what I was thinking. They're female fronted and Stefania. She's the lead singer. They're just cool people, and their music is genuinely good. So I'm like, okay. So the show's exciting. Sorry, I went off track, fangirling over these guys, but the show is just, it's not going to be a show. How do I always figure out how to say it. Like, it's a Post Malone, Imagine Dragons, Foo Fighters level show that you're getting for $15-$20. You know, and I try to tell people, I'm like, my tickets are going to be expensive someday. They're going to be massive expensive. Get them cheap now. And I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm just like, why wouldn't I make it? This is all I do. You know, every day I've given up everything. I've already showed the universe I want this. I gave up a lucrative business so that I could do music and do what I love and be true to myself. And I have no plan B. And I love doing what we do. So all those things are like, why wouldn't I make it? So June 4th, Provo Experience Event Center. The link is in my bio at Instagram. That's where you get tickets. That's where you get tickets. Go to the link in my bio. And then when you click on the link, it'll show my link tree. And the top ticket sales for that show will be shaking. Because we also do have a couple other shows as well. So you'll see them all there. Like we're doing an acoustic set for Forkfest June 19th.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. little plug in that one. And then I believe even before that one, June 11th. I think it's June 11th. What day is June 11th?
It's a Friday.
Okay, I could be really wrong here, but I'm pretty sure we're playing at the Royal with Stereo Ranger. And I love Stereo Ranger. They're Tim. He's also the freaking best sound guy in the world. I love this guy. Alexa, please stop. Okay.
Anyway. Sounded like you had a bird or something.
Yeah, I'm like, Alexa, stop it.
You know better, Alexa. Come on.
Have you guys done the Supercharge Alexa? Have you done that from TikTok? You give her the code, what is it, from Contra or from the up, down, A, B, left, right, whatever that Super Nintendo code is, you do it to her. And she goes, super Alexa, engaged, and does like this power up. It's super cool. Anyway, that's beside the point. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, June 4th, and then I believe June 11th at the Royal, June 19th at Forkfest, the acoustic stage. It would just be Johnny and I doing a half an hour acoustic set towards the end of the night, 7:30. But the big one we're pushing first, because it's first, June 4th. Can't say it enough. Please edit this so I don't look like an idiot, because I'm kind of all over the place.
No, we love it. You don't look like an idiot, and I'm not going to edit it.
Less cool, which makes me mad, but that's why I wanted you on here anyways.
Awesome.
So yeah, where's
June 4th.
June 4th
will be a show that, like, I'm trying to convey to people, like, how amazing it's going to be. The LED screens, these things are, like, 30 feet, I don't know, 20 feet, 30 feet. But either way, we got three of them. The sound will be done by Tim Bassett, who's just, again, one of the best. I think he's the audio engineer for Blue October's tour or in the studio. I don't know, Tim. Sorry, man. I don't know exactly what you do. I just know you're their sound guy. But he lit us up at Soundwell, and it sounded incredible. So we're super excited to work with him and the opening bands, and then Experience Event Center. They were kind enough to host us. So.
And what's and your social VIP media again? Too. I keep interrupting you. What's your social media?
No, you're okay. Ofi Band. OFIBAND. Ofi Band.
Awesome. What were you saying? There's different prices. What was the?
Yeah. So promo code for everybody is Ofi. Just that's it. OFI. Super easy. We didn't want to make it complicated. It'll take a couple bucks off. There's the ticket prices. Like I said, it's $15 with the promo code, which normally is $18 without. And then we have $30 is a VIP package. And so the VIP package. Sponsored by Super Chicks. Anyway, so you'll get some. And if you guys haven't had Super Chicks, do it. No offense to Chick-fil-A, but Super Chicks puts Chick-fil-A to shame. I'm not even joking. I'm not even like a fried chicken type of guy or even chicken tenders. That place is bomb. It is bomb. And I'm not saying that just because they're catering. Even if Chick-fil-A was catering, I would say, I wish Super Chicks was doing it. I'm not even joking. Anyway. So we have them, and then a couple other sponsors. I don't know if I'm allowed to name yet. I know we have one other is Your Tribe Clothing. We met through bringing mental awareness to the community. So they do a lot of suicide prevention, really cool message. So we'll highlight them as well at the show. But anyway, yeah, the VIP package. And I can't stress this enough, guys. This will be the most insane, dope show that you've been to. Whether it's your first time, if it's your first time, you'll be like, holy cow, are these guys famous already? And if it's like your 100th time, well, not, we haven't played 100 shows, but if it's like your 5th time, you'll be like, dude, that was definitely the craziest show I've ever been to. Like, it was amazing. So, and then if I could say this, some of the people that will be in the audience have a huge input and determination in the future of my career. So we're playing in front of some industry professionals that really could do wonders for our career. So it would be awesome to present those people with, hey, look, we sold out, you know, we got 600 people here to see us and our buddies, and let's have a heck of a show. June 4th.
I'm super excited. I can't wait for a concert and then just to see you live. So, because I was out of town the last time you did it. So even more excited.
Are we allowed to take our shirts off and throw them up on stage? Or
I will tell you right now, I will be shirtless for you.
You know, what's funny is there's a hashtag that we started, shirtless show, in June. And I mean, I got sick this week and I lost weight and I was like, it's going to happen. All right. So yeah, I'd be okay with it. Because one of these shows, I mean, if we sell out, I'll probably play shirtless if we sell this show. It's just huge. Like, who has an unheard of, not famous band, 600 people? I don't think people realize how many people 600 people is. Yeah. That is a ton. Like, our last 5 shows have all sold out, but the biggest one, I think, was 250. And so we were like, okay, we know we can comfortably do 200 tickets pretty easy. It's going to sell out, right? Because we just have the best fans. We really do have super fans. But then my manager's like, hey, what about 600? I was like, what about 400? You know, so it's going to be a huge, like, what a crazy accomplishment as a community to do that, to be like, hey, this is the first show of the summer, no COVID restrictions, to celebrate that we did it. It's not that we're like, all right, we're going to break the rules. No, we're accepting the rules. And how crazy is it to be like, we made it. We're like, I just saw Korn announced the tour, you know, at the end of the year, August 2021. And I was like, all right, other bands are doing it too. We just happen to be the first unheard of band to do it the quickest, like now. And it's kind of scary because I think if Imagine Dragons was on this bill, everybody would be like, all right, let's just go do it, you know? But it's because we're doing it. It's like, are you sure it's safe? Like, 100% promise you it's safe. And obviously we're going to respect people's wishes. If they're like, I don't feel safe enough for doing that, cool. You know, then this concert isn't for you. We'll have other ones. But if you're ready, legit ready for a concert, if you're ready to be like, I need to feel something again, I need to see something, we will deliver. You will never be disappointed at an Opie show. You will cry, you will scream, you will laugh, you'll dance your butts off, and you'll sing. Like, it'll be a blast, I promise. Just get tickets, come to the show.
Awesome. Jay, any final thoughts?
No, I'm excited to go. I'll get my second dose of the vaccine this Friday, so I'm pretty...
Awesome.
I mean, so the vaccine's like 97% effective, and then at my age, it's pretty not that dangerous of a disease anyway, so I'm like, why wouldn't I be able to go to a concert if, you know, it's like, you're talking, I mean, I'll go buy lottery tickets if, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, the spread of it has slowed.
It's really good in Utah County. Yeah, in Utah, just because it's a younger population, and everyone's so spread out that it really hasn't been, COVID hasn't hit the state as hard nearly as other states, so we're able to do a lot more here.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, very lucky. Nashville was pretty open. I mean, we played out there a month ago. No masks, you know, then everybody was together jamming. And it was a blast, you know. I was like, oh, this is so fun. One last thing.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, if I can go back to work vaccinated for those people, I'm going to go to your concert vaccinated. So
I went to the Hill Theater to watch Les Mis. And let me just tell you the coolest moment. I mean, the whole production, freaking bravo, 10 out of 10. It was amazing. I legit cried in it. And I wasn't a huge fan of the movie, but this musical, Hell Theater, again, they should be paying me for this advertisement. But it was incredible. But my favorite part was, we're all sitting down. And if you've ever been to the Hell Theater, it's like center stage, and then everybody sits around. It's really, really cool, really unique. And the stage, like, is it like moves? It's like a transformer, dude. It like moves and does a bunch of shape shift and stuff. All of a sudden, the announcer gets on the microphone and he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Utah no longer requires masks at large gatherings." Blah blah blah. And dude, everybody went nuts. Everybody was cheering, and just that like feeling of however many people were there, I was like, "Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready for a concert." Like, people are so, they need that human connection. We've been starving, you know. If anything, whether you know our music or not, it's like, go for the human connection. Go for that like excitement to be out there in the world, to be alive again. Go for that.
Awesome. I love it. It's true. Because you talk about mental health, and you know what? A concert helps mental health. Music's help mental health. So that alone is a reason to go out. And even if you don't feel safe, stay in the background. We'll wave at you from 12 feet away.
Yeah. Yeah, you totally can. The venue's big enough. And if it helps people, the max capacity, I believe, is 952. And they capped us at 600. And it was out of respect for what we asked for with COVID and stuff. He's like, and the venue is very cool. Like, if you guys want to go over, and I was like, first off, we get over 600, like, that's going to be amazing. You know, like, that, again, that is a ton of people. Anyway, but we're like, we wanted to leave some room for people to respect them. You know, like, if you still want to wear a mask, then wear a mask. You know, we're not going to shame you into it. Or you're here, you're supporting us. You know, and then again, if it's not for you yet, then obviously do what you feel is safe. But if you're ready, come.
Johnny and I think can get you a decent little chunk of people there. I think so.
We have a good following, and I've been telling everyone left and right about this word concert. So they're intrigued just to know what that means. That alone.
My boys. Shit, I should have done like a live acoustic thing for you guys or whatever.
I was going to push it, but I knew you were a little bit under the weather. And I was like, you know what? I know Ofi personally, so I can just, we'll just, Ofi, one thing we do is we call back to our favorite people. So you will be called back. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Okay.
We will use you again.
We establish your character. Now we get to see what you do on the next cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a book.
Yes. And seriously, I like as much people as you can bring them, because that means the world to us. I mean, it's an exchange of goods. And last thing I just want to say is, like, in supporting bands and musicians, we know as artists, we're constantly hitting up our friends. Hey, please come to our show. Please come support. Right. And I think what makes us at least so far successful, because again, 5 out of 5 shows that we've done since we've been like this band sold out is incredible to us. Cause it's like, wow. And they're not always the same people, but that we have dedicated good fans. And for me, it's like, hey, they're receiving something. It's not, hey, let's go support our friends. Cause trust me, I've been there. I got friends in bands and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna pay money to see your band. That's not the case with this. You know, like, no one that hears our music would ever say, oh, I don't like them. Or no one that ever comes to our show is going to be like, oh, that wasn't entertaining. No, it's entertaining. You might not, this might not be your style, and that's cool. You might like country or rap or whatever, but you're going to be entertained. You're going to laugh. You're going to be like, dude, these guys are great at what they do, you know? So there is an exchange of goods. And I know, I mean, it's like us. We always put out shows and marketing and advertising. It's like, hey, man, come watch this. And it's not because we want your money. Trust me, we make very little in music. Like, you really do. Like, we make good money off of merch and any endorsement deals or sponsors or whatever. But like, ticket sales, think about it. It's like, we got to pay the venue, we got to pay management, we got to pay the label, we got to pay sound, lights, camera, merch girls, then each band, then the band members. So it's like, you know, we don't do it for that, but there is an exchange. It's like, this is for you guys. You know, it's like, yes, spend $15. Spend 30 if you want to get some food, but come and you guys will get something. It'll be worth your money. It's like going to a movie. I hate going to a movie that I paid for that sucked. I'm like, dude, I wasted my money, right? But it's when it's a great movie, it's like, oh, I'll pay that again. I'll go watch that again. It's that, you know, it's that experience. All right, I've said enough. June 4th.
Oh, no, I love it, dude. Now. It's
bring as many people as you can.
And I like how truthful you are, because I'll call back a little bit, because I have been in the music scene for a while, going to concerts. I went to Paramore when they did meet and greets, and I hugged Haley, right? And she's like, and I'm like, really nice. And she pushed those shirts like no tomorrow, because that's the only way they're going to get to the next city. And it was so funny. And you know what? I bought stickers, because, you know, I was 17 at the time. I didn't have any money.
Yeah, and $5 goes a long way with bands.
Yeah.
Right?
especially back in like 07. But still, I was like, yeah, see, that's what, so true. Buy show nights when we go there, we're going to support them, get shirts, take pictures, rock out. You'll get to see me and Jay jumping around like idiots to the most handsome guy on stage, Ovi. So we're excited.
There you go. Yeah, and bring loved ones. Jay, bring your wife, bring family, bring friends. It is all ages. And it's I'm just telling you guys, it's going to be the concert. My goal, here we go. Here's the last thing I'll say about this show. If I have not hit it enough yet, this will be the concert that, like, the perfect concert to bring you back to life. That's what I want it to be. I want people to be like, okay, that made up for all of 2020 not going to concerts, is that one show. That's what we would like to do for you guys. That's what we'd like to do for our audience. And then you're absolutely right, man. The merch, some people, luckily, I think nowadays in 2021, people get it. It's like, oh, why are your shirts $25? Well, because it costs X amount of money to make it, and then a portion goes to the record label, and then we split. So I make $3, you know? It's not a lot, you know.
That's gas money to the next venue. So we get it.
Exactly. And we don't even touch our merch money. Merch money just gets cycled in to buy more merch to get to the point where, okay, we're self-sufficient in that to do that. It's a business, man. It's a business.
Dude, love it. Love every second of it. I thought I had some other stuff to say, which I always will. But what do you think, Jay?
I think we're good. Ovi, we cannot tell you how much we appreciate you coming on. We really do. It's cool to kind of see into the minds of creators, and to, I don't know, you're so talented, so it's cool to kind of pick you apart a little bit and kind of see what's underneath, you know.
And we love nerding out, and we always say nerding out doesn't mean, you know, comic books. It means music, it means literature, it means everything. So when we get to nerd out with someone who's passionate, woo, I love it.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for having me on. Like, you know, you guys treat me like I'm famous and I'm a celebrity, and I know I'm not
my eyes.
Oh, I appreciate that. It seriously means a lot. I mean, again, I think about people's time. I think of all the things all the people you guys could be talking to that are more successful, more well-known, more whatever. And you guys let me come on and talk. So thank you guys so much. It means a lot. Thank you for your love and support.
Perfect. We will blast this on every social media known to man, because that's why we have it. Cool. We're gonna bring a million people. I know three, so Jay's one of them, but I'll bring Jay.
So that leaves,
I'm probably the third.
999,007 people. 9,007 people for me to bring.
That's right. Awesome. All right, Knights. We'd like to thank Ovi for spending some time with us and making us that much cooler for the week. And everyone, check out his show. We will be blasting it. I will for sure be there. Jay will be there because I love him. And Ovi will be rocking, melting our faces.
I'll be there.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Me neither.
All right, Knights. We will see you on the flippity flop.
Flippity flip.